5, 4, 3, 2.
Big Time Sorbet Line. It's gonna be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yes. Yes. And he's hype. I like it. Let's go. Good morning, good morning here in the United States. It's just past midnight. Realism Sports Talk, episode 165. And for my special guest, it's just after noon in Taiwan. This guy, yo, we got somebody from Taiwan on the show right now. I love it.
With the JMU sweatshirt
right now.
On. Right now.
Representing JMU right now. It's, how crazy is
it's
that?
It's 1 o'clock here. In the morning.
Unbelievable.
And it is 1 o'clock Saturday.
This is what we do right here on Realism Sports Talk. Thank you for watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify. Check us out on Facebook, at Realism Pod on Twitter, at Realism Sports Talk on TikTok. Thank you for our patrons. 360 Painting, all angles are covered with 360 Painting locally here in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Love for the Black Mamba and all the love for my mama back here. Because on Realism Sports Talk, we talk about sports from Hall of Famers to the local talent. Ready, Jackie? To the big time storylines. Let's go. And the biggest storyline that we got right now is, that's what I said. We got somebody right now from Taipei, Taiwan. A JMU alumni right here to talk about sports with us in these after hours. This is amazing, Jackie. Thank you for being a part of the show, for spending time with us. We are gratefully appreciated.
Hey, man. It's my honor to be on this show. And thanks for Terrell and Jared, especially Jared, making a special appearance on the show.
Because he don't come on the show very much.
Yeah, so I feel honored. And just, you know, so great to be on here to talk about sports.
That's right, man. And I see you rocking the JMU basketball sweatshirt. You know what I'm saying? You know what you did when you came over here. So let me ask you a question. What brought you to come to James Madison University? What brought you here? Yeah.
So that's actually a long story, but I try to make it short. I was actually in Taiwan University for like 3 years. So I was way past, you know, college age when I was in the States. But here in Taiwan, I was just trying to figure out life, you know. And by the time I already, like, really, I'm huge, like, on sports, any kind of sports, baseball, basketball, all that. But I just really, you know, want to feel the college sports in the States. Because it's, you know, like, nothing else, like, college sports in the States, nothing else like other countries. So that's what brought me to the States. And by the time I have like a couple schools on hand I get to go to, but JMU was my number one. And funny is that because the weather is kind of similar to Taiwan.
Oh wow!
So really? I was like, yeah, you know, I might be able to survive there. So that's why I picked JMU.
Okay, that's interesting, man. That's interesting because you said you already went to a university in Taiwan. What made you think you had to come to the States to do anything? I mean, you were already on your way in Taiwan. What made you think, let me try to go there and do some things? What was it about it?
Yeah, that's actually like a big move. Like me and my family, even like my professors, we've been like talking back and forth. They said, I was junior already, so I still got what? One more year to get that paper. But why did I give up now? And why did I choose to go to the States all the way? And it's like not even West Coast, it's East Coast. It's like so far away. My family didn't even come to visit me for like 3 more years.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. So that's a huge decision for me. But by the time I really wanted to do sports, I really love sports so much. I thought about Australia too, because it's a lot closer and they do have like good baseball league too. But eventually, I believe it was my dad. He's like, if you want to do sports, then go to the States. Like, you know, States, they got all kinds of sports, like from youth, grassroots to professional. You can learn a lot of different perspectives. And I was like, yeah. But I remember on the day I was at the airport. So, of course, my parents were sending me off. I was like, you know, heck yeah. I was like, you know, finally. You know, I'm free. Like, you know, I got to do stuff that I want to do. But you know, story changed. Like, once I got the airplane, I teared. Like, you know, tear fell off. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, you know, I'm actually going. And it's somewhere that I knew no one. It's so far away that they never will be able to visit me, you know, until I come back home. So that's quite a story. But, you know, JMU, you know, I love it. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. So had anybody in your family or anybody you know came to the States to go to school or to do anything else?
No, I was the first one.
First one?
Yeah. Wow. I'm the first one.
And you said your dad kept talking about sports. So obviously you had a passion for sports at a younger age. Did you come to play sports or did you play sports in Taiwan? Or what is the median between you leaving to come to JMU with sports?
Yeah, it's funny that I swam competitively my whole life.
Swam?
But yeah, I swam a lot. I play a little baseball and basketball, but never like organized, you know, just recreationally. And my dad, I believe he was a basketball player in high school.
Okay.
But he did a lot. He does a lot of golf, you know.
Okay.
When I was growing up. So that's kind of really got me into sports. But I always wanted to do basketball. I knew I couldn't as a player because the size or the skill, but I just tried to, like, you know, use different ways to get into the industry. And that's why I picked sports as a major, you know, and just tried to figure out, like, different ways to be that, you know, in that spot.
So when you did make the transition to actually say, I'm going to do this at James Madison, what was your end goal? You obviously wasn't planning on playing. You said you made it a major or whatnot. What did you want to accomplish? Because like you said, you were a junior already at the university that you were in. So what were you trying to accomplish when you came to James Madison?
Yeah, I think one of the things that was really like big to me when I first arrived in the States, but that's like nothing to do with sports. I just want to like restart. I guess the culture or just the school system here, I didn't really fit in. And I spent a lot of, so 3 years just learning nothing, to be honest. But I still figure out like how to like socialize with people, how to like do a lot of cool things. But just like school-wise, you know, like I never like really understand why I studied that. When I studied this, but until like I went to the States, like it really like just kind of refreshed, you know, everything restarted. And then I think one thing is that I have enough, I guess, confidence in myself, like doing anything, because I was really shy, you know, to be honest. I was never like this, you know, talking in front of the camera or talking to people I just met, you know, and I was never like, no, not like that. But when I went to the States, like I say, like a lot of people pushed me, got me out of comfort zone. And of course, I was there all by myself. So I had to do everything on my own. And that led me to this, you know, point that I kind of be able to figure out everything. But of course, the end goal was for me to work in college athletics. That's okay. You know, always my end goal. And I did have an opportunity after graduation for undergrad. Coaches want me to go back to the program for women's basketball at JMU.
Oh, really?
But I had to. Yeah. So I had to do military service, like I say.
Right.
So I came back first, and then COVID hit. Everything kind of just changed, messed up.
Wow.
So eventually, I stayed here. Yeah.
Wow. So if COVID wouldn't have happened after your tough 4 months of military service, you would have came back. You would have came back to work with the JMU women's basketball team.
Yeah, that was the plan. And
wow,
I thought, you know, that might be it. I would be in the States for the rest of my life, but you know, eventually.
Because JMU women's athletics, period, not just basketball, are official. Yeah. I mean, the men's football team is growing and growing and growing. But women's at JMU, like one of my co-hosts, Ryan Swole Daddy Aarons, his wife is one of the coaches for the women's golf team. And they've just won their second straight team event. The women's athletics at James Madison are up there, yo. I mean, lacrosse, field hockey, softball, basketball, just in the tournament that lost to the team that made it to the Final Four, and they were ahead by a lot. So for you to even get close to being a part of that, how did you finagle yourself from way across the country to, they want me to be a part of this? How did you do that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, kind of going back to what I just, you know, say, like, even before the show, like, a lot of people believe in me. When I first got here, you know, I sent out a lot of letters. Like, of course, I was like, hey, you know, I would, you know, be willing to volunteer, you know, for the basketball team, men's, women's, you know, either program or even the equipment room. So I actually started
with
the equipment. Yeah, so the guy named Daniel Turk, he took me in, and he was like, hey, there is never a student want to volunteer for equipment. You might be the first one. And I was like, yeah, but I just tried to break in. You know, I know I'm not even from here, but I need to start somewhere, you know. And then the funny thing is, so after equipment, I did interview with women's for their team manager for the very first time. But they reject, like, say, your English might be the problem for us because basketball is really fast-paced. Yeah. You know, everything is going really quick. So I was like, it's all right. But I keep kind of like just say, hey, but, you know, if it's volunteer, please, you know, just take me in or anything. But they did not reply eventually. So I stuck with equipment, right? But the coaches, that's like something that best coaches see me all the time. It's like, hey, this is you. What are you doing here? Like, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'm here working, you know, volunteering, and hopefully one day, you know, I could work for the program. And that's how I got myself into the program. Eventually, it's one of the women's coach. He came to me and said, hey, we actually are looking for a manager. Are you interested? I said, heck yeah, like that's
absolutely.
Yeah, and they even offered me scholarships, all that stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, wow. I was like, wow, I did not expect that, but, you know, I appreciate you. Yeah.
Well, myself, including the producer here, we love coaching. We've coached youth and up to the high school level and everything else. And just like you said, sometimes the best players aren't the ones that's going to amount to the most. It's the ones that are the hungriest, the ones that are going to be dedicated enough, the ones that are going to put in the sacrifice when nobody else will. And that sounds like something that you were doing. Like when he said, nobody else is doing this. You had a hunger for being what you wanted to be. You had an end goal for what you wanted to be. You were the first one to come out your family to do it. But you weren't satisfied with that. You weren't satisfied with that at all. You had more to prove and more to do. And I think that's a testament to you and your family for your upbringing and for your tenacity. I love that about you.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I never knew, like, I could do that. But, you know, I just... It's funny that, so in our saying in Taiwan, it's called roaches spirit. So cockroaches, they never die, right?
I like it.
Die. I hate roaches.
They keep coming. Yeah, I had them either. I had them too, but just like that kind of like spirit. Like,
yeah, the spirit of a roach. Come
like,
on,
yeah,
man.
Like, you don't give up. You know, you just keep trying. Yeah, so eventually, yeah.
Is that a Taiwan just saying that, like, a lot of families, like, in sports, you hear that a lot? Like, hey, roach's spirit.
No, it's in life. Like, not even just in sports. It's, like, in general. Like, people would say, you know, you gotta have roach's spirit. Like,
so he's saying, is that, like, a Taiwan thing? Is that, like, a saying like that?
Yeah.
It's Taiwan, okay. Like, specifically. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Because
like
we
it.
Have a...
We
have kind of a saying like that, but it's like, bend, don't break, right?
Don't break.
You know, be pushed to your limits, but never break. Be able to be resilient enough to come back stronger next time.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing. Or just like, you know, something doesn't break you, you know, it's going to make you stronger or something.
I'm
like
using
that.
Roach's spirit from here
and
on.
And I'm tired of talking about roaches because I grew up in the projects in Richmond with roaches. I would have to tie up my shoes in trash bags, and I still to this day cover my mouth when I sleep. So no more roaches talk, please. No more roaches talk. But man, Jackie, this is amazing. And we haven't even touched on anything yet. And I'm already amazed by the person that you are. And the struggle that you went through to get that. You had to be shy, but still hungry at the same time. That's hard. That's hard for a regular person to say. Think about it. If somebody is shy, they're not going to be hungry. If you're hungry, you're not going to be shy. You had all of these things in one person. And never say die attitude.
It's like constantly, you know, a battle. Like, I really want to do that, but, you know, personality-wise, it's like, no, you know, you're shy, you don't do that. But eventually, you know, I break it, you know, just, I mean, I gotta do it, right? Otherwise, you know, it's gonna be the same. Like, I never went to the States. I could have done this in Taiwan, you know.
That's what I was gonna say. You could have done the same thing there.
Yeah.
But you did it here. So here's my biggest thing. Like I said, this is the first time I'm ever talking to you, seeing you face to face. I've talked to you on Facebook, different things. Because my brother-in-law, Derek Hess, told me about you as far as like tagging my videos to you and different things. And anybody that knows my brother Derek, I love him more than anything. I mean, I love my brother, but sometimes he might be inflating things, sir. But he told me about you and different things, and we talked, like I said, off and on for good, 6-8 months now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
so, how did you meet, for somebody that's shy, Derek Hess is not shy. He's not shy.
If he doesn't smile, man, you don't want to talk to him, because he's...
Yeah, exactly right. If he ain't smiling, just go the other way. Go the other way for a minute. So how did you meet Derek? Yeah. How did you meet Derek?
Man, so I believe it's like my first day when I got into Harrisonburg, got into the town. So I was like in the States a couple of days before I went to Harrisonburg. I was like in a hotel at the Dallas airport and just waiting for the school to pick me up, right? And then, so my first day, they assigned me to like an off-campus complex named North 38.
I've been there a few times.
I was there for like 3 years, like until I graduated. But North 38, so it's really far away from campus. Like,
it is. Mm-hmm. And their buses break down all the time.
But by the time I did not have a car, did not have a bike, and didn't know how the bus system worked. So my first day, I walked from No. 38 to JMU campus.
Ooh,
and that took me an hour.
Ooh.
And not to mention, it was snowing.
Oh, yeah. What? So that's the determination. That's the determination.
Yeah. He's a swimmer.
Yeah, I did not have like those beam boots on, whatever. And then, but the thing is, before I... plan on going to the States. Anybody here in Taiwan say you gotta try Chipotle. You know, like Chipotle is so good. Like you gotta try it out.
It's the most American food.
Who told you that? Who told you Chipotle?
All my friends, like you know, here in Taiwan, who've been to the States, is like Chipotle is you know the must try thing. And I was like, okay, and so I Google it, and there is a Chipotle by the East Campus.
By JMU,
like.
Reservoir Street.
Yes, sir. I remember
he said
that.
It at the same time.
So I walk all the way to Reservoir Street. But
damn, from North 38, that's a long ass walk, yo.
Yeah. I believe it's like more than an hour. But it's just like everything is so new to me, right? Because it's my first day in Harrisonburg, so I'm just trying to explore. But during my walk, a lady drove by me, and I believe that's Derek's mom. So she's like, Derek's mom show up. She's just like, hey, you know, you're trying to like look for something, like, because I've been like walking, you know, and she just like, you know, do you need a hand? I was like, yeah, I'm just trying to get to Chipotle, but I'm kind of like lost. So she gave me the ride, You know, this is amazing. Like, this is why I love Harrisonburg. I mean, it could be dangerous, but I'm just saying, like, a lady, and, you know, I never knew a stranger. And then she just like, hey, I could give you a ride to Chipotle if you want. And then, of course, I was like, sure. And then, so she took me to Chipotle. And then after that, like, I told her, like, yeah, I could walk home myself. Like, there's no problem. So after that, okay, so after that, I believe it's like after a week or so, Derek Hess came to my house, came to my apartment. So
he came to your house.
Yeah, in my house. But I did not know, like, that lady was his mom at the time. But he came to my house, and then my roommate also is named Derek. Another Derek, I don't know if you ever met. He's like a huge buff dude with a lot of tattoos. But apparently they are friends.
Oh, I know that. I know who you're talking about. I know that guy.
Yes.
They moved furniture in my house one time.
Football.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So he was my first roommate ever. And then I was with him like 2 years. So, and no 38 after he moved out. But they are like tight, like friends. So Derek Hess will like always come by, hang out. And then with his dog, Steve. And then
Steve Areno, sees Leo. Yeah.
So we hang out quite a bit, and then he started asking me those questions, like, "Hey, how you got in, you know, JMU, and why you're here?" And then I just started like telling all these stories, and he's like, "Hold on, like my mom did talk about JMU trying to go to Chipotle, and she gave me the ride." I said, "That's me." That's like probably after a semester or two, like a long time, you know, later. And then it was like eventually that figured out, oh my goodness, like that first day a lady picked me up and went to Chipotle was Derek's mom.
That's crazy. Like,
that, yeah, I was like, this is the first time ever I actually feel the world is really small. Like,
yeah,
you know, anything could happen. Yeah, so that's how I met Derek. And ever since then, I mean, he's one of them really took me in. I gotta be very real. Like, by the time, like I said, I couldn't speak English at all. Like, I mean, I could a little bit, throwing some vocabularies, all that stuff. But he really took me in and really just took care of me like one of his own, you know? So I appreciate him so much.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Go ahead, Derek Hess. Big ups to you, baby. That's my brother out here doing things.
You want
to
know something that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around is, and maybe this is because I haven't explored the world, but there is a guy halfway around the world who knows our lifestyle here. Like, not just America, but specifically our area right here. And, like, it's just so crazy to think about someone 12 someone 12 hours away from us knows exactly our life here. That is crazy to me.
And has experienced
it. And I wish.
And knows my brother-in-law.
I wish I had the opportunity to be on the other side of that. That is crazy.
And get me the first ever deer meat I ever tried.
Oh, yeah.
You like his deer meat?
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, it's Derek Hess. Go ahead, Derek Hess.
Everybody.
Yeah, all that stuff. So
deer meat's
really
a big thing.
Gave me a lot of like local, you know, true American experience. So, you know, that's very cool.
Did he get you a whole lot of women too? Don't answer that. Don't answer that.
3-1. 3-1.
Don't answer that. Oh, it was cool then.
But he did like tell me to come with like parties and stuff, and just kind of let me experience it. Eventually, I mean, I did.
Yeah, you were at North 38. You didn't have to go far.
North 38.
So,
yeah, North 38 with Derek Hess. Yeah, exactly. Jackie, that's crazy. Yeah. That story right there. That's what I'm trying to say, Jackie. You talk about, that jump right there is dope, Jackie. This is what we talk about. Nobody's going to know this kind of stuff. This is great. So as you get finished with JMU, what made you go back? Was it COVID made you go back? Is that what it was?
It was actually the military service.
Military. COVID. And you were going to come back when COVID happened.
Yeah, that's.
I got you. Yeah, so you haven't been back since?
Yeah, it's been 3 years. Three years. So It's been actually a lot of like talks that coaches, different coaches from like different colleges want me to go back to do
really
and serve. Yeah, Northeastern. I don't know if you ever heard.
Yeah, I've heard of Northeastern.
Stony Brook.
Stony Brook. Yep.
Yeah, or like even Alabama, Illinois. So all them trying to get me back, but eventually, like there are a lot of barriers in between. So
let me ask you a question. For somebody basically as like, I mean, you didn't play the sport as a walk-on type manager type person. What did you do to impress these other schools to want them to get you to come back? You had to do something. What was it?
Right. I think one thing really stood out, like, you know, to those coaches is, I guess it's the heart. Like,
yep.
I love basketball, right? And then I really wish I could, you know, be a player past, so I could bring in more like perspectives or energy, but just like me being there and trying to just do work, you know, like when I was with JMU, we travel a lot,
yeah,
to different like stadiums, different away games. The first thing, you know, to me though, is to just help the coaches and the players to get comfortable. So like, I mean, I don't mind like just being friends, you know, with them. Like it's cool, right? Because you get to like hang out with them, all that. But me being there is always like work first.
Look at this guy.
I know it's kind of like lame, you know, sometimes, but I know.
It's not lame. It's impressive, dude. It's impressive.
But I just try to like, you know, make them feel like good, you know, before the game, at practice, or during the game. And I guess the title mentality like really stood out, like, you know, for them to want me to go back. And I think one thing like might be different than other like managers or like other people is that I try to build personal relationships, but not like, you know, on the core thing that, you know, trying to show off like, hey, you know, she's my friend, you know, she's, we're really tight, but I always try to do it behind the scenes. Like, I would DM them, text them, say, hey, you know, remember like we played Purdue in 2019, I believe. And then Purdue is like a big program.
Yeah.
You know? We lost by 1 point. And one of our best shooters, she missed a free throw at the very, you know, like second. So she broke down. She broke down like right after the game, went into the locker and she broke down. And then I just simply like text her. It's like, hey, you know, this happens to, you know, one of, you know, every of us, like even the greats, you know, and you are that great, greatest player, like on this team, and then you gotta learn how to, you know, take that in. So those, you know, through these small talks or just pep talks, I really build like deep relationships with the players, but never on the scene, like, you know, on the floor, like people would say, but always like behind the back, and with the coaches too, like. I do like cards, all that little notes, just trying to.
Wow.
I mean, you know, because I'm here like all along, an international student, like, you know, who wants me? Like, you know, you would think there are way more people they could have, and they picked me. So I always just feel like grateful to be able to do stuff for them. And I think that's one thing really stood out. And eventually, when I come back, those coaches would still like email me, say, hey, you know, I know you have this type of skill. Could you like help me to, you know, like recruit players or do like graphics, all that stuff? So still, like, till this day, I still do work for some of the coaches. But I will always say, yeah, I will still do work for them. And I will always tell them, like, I don't take money or that stuff. But if there is one thing you could do for me, is I really want to go back for grad school. Yeah, and that's one thing, you know, if they can do for me. So ever since then, they've been like helping me, doing like connecting with other schools, other coaches. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
That's so freaking awesome, dude. So freaking awesome, man. Man, that's so freaking awesome. So why you're in Taiwan right now? Sports is still a passion for you. Still a passion for you, right?
It is.
So tell me what you're doing as far as with sports right now.
Yeah. So it's funny that, so ever since I came back, my first job I did was a broadcaster for our professional baseball. So our professional baseball. Yeah. Yeah, that is another story. Yeah, I gotta tell you, because it was COVID year. So when COVID hit, sports in the world shut down.
Yes.
Yeah.
But only here in Taiwan, we were live.
Yeah, let me ask you one question. Let me ask you one question real quick. Let me ask you one question. Because this show started because of COVID. I started the show during COVID because I like to talk sports. But I do remember watching, and I don't want to be disrespectful about any country or anything, like I said before. I remember watching TV, and it was baseball. And I don't know what countries it was, but they had, like, blow-up dolls in the stands and different things going on in the stands. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
I think that's us.
We had cardboard cutouts, so.
Yeah, because literally we were the only
It was the only thing to watch.
Yeah.
It was the only thing to watch.
Yeah, that's us.
That was y'all.
Yeah, that's us. That's us. Yeah.
I remember talking about it. Yo, I got to go research because it's one of my first shows. I remember talking about it like, yo, whatever league it was, I was like, the baseball, they got blow up dolls in the stands. They're still playing. La, la, la. Because we were talking about, is the NBA going to come back with the bubble? Is baseball going to do all these things? But there was a baseball organization that was still playing. If that's what, yo, I got to research that. That's amazing.
So I have a question about that. Were they just put there and just say, hey, here's spectator eyes? Because my leading up to that, for the MLB, while they were still playing, what you could do, some teams were saying, hey, pay $250 and we can have a cardboard cutout of your picture there. Like, and then after it's all said and done, we'll give it back to you. And I was like, man, I really want to pay $250 to have a cardboard. I never did it. But was it something like that? Or were they just, was
they were the league just kind of like,
yeah, but was the league just saying, we're just going to put these here just to make it feel like somebody's there?
It was like stuffed animals.
From my understanding, like, we never did that. It was like, you know, like people paying for the cardboards.
Right.
I think it's just the league or the organizations. They try to make it look good on TV.
But yeah.
That did not last long because we opened it up really quick.
Yeah.
So people could actually watch live sports, all that stuff during that first COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that did not last too long.
And I think that out of the United States, help sports get back to the United States because other leagues outside the United States weren't as intimidated or scared and figured out ways to say, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. They said, okay, let's be proactive and figure out what we can do and enhance that.
Right.
I think without that, we would still be back, you know what I mean? We might not have had the bubble with the NBA or different things going on. You know, everything was scary, but I think other places doing those things help everybody with sports.
Right, right, yeah. Because that's like the year or like the time I feel like we really need sports in life.
Yes.
Like we could not have, you know, otherwise it's not the same anymore. So, yeah. But, you know, eventually like COVID still hit us. Like
still here. Year,
but still here. So unfortunately. But, you know, I'm glad everything is normal. You know, good. Watch sports, play sports, do sports, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So with you, Jackie, and with me, and with my previous guest on the Raw show, Mr. Darren, it's so funny how he said he started his show when COVID happened.
I was going to bring
that I up started this years. Show when COVID happened. And you're talking about different things that happened when COVID happened. Because why? Like we always say, sports is the ultimate band-aid. Sports is the ultimate thing that will take away all your distractions, all your hates, all your problems, all your insecurities.
That's right.
It builds people together without all the other things that make you think in opposite ways. That's why we love sports. And that's why you left Taiwan in a comfort level that you were at. You were comfortable there. You were almost done graduating. You were there, but you wanted more. And sports helped you get there. And fight your fears and do the things and still be wanted while you're in another country. The state still wants you back because of sports. That's amazing. Yeah. That what sports does for people, yo. It's crazy.
Yeah, I really never thought of that, but just today here, like, you know, I was talking, I really just think back, you know, how I went through all that up and downs, and then today, you know, we are here talking about sports. It's, you know, one thing, just, you know, we are blessed, you know?
Yes.
Like, it's, yes. It's so cool. Yeah, so cool.
Yes. But, yes. So, we've been talking about how great you are, Mr. Jackie, and you are that great. And I want to give big props to your parents and your family also, because you can't do it alone. Not one person can do it without a backbone of stability around them and a support system that will help you create these goals and opportunities. Whether they came and seen you in 3 years or not, you knew when the chips were on the table, if you needed them, they'd be here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that gave you strength to do the things that you never thought you could do. But since you still are in Taiwan, I want to know, because I'm a sports fan.
Yeah.
I want to know, after watching the World Baseball Classic, and like I said, baseball is under football and basketball to me. Number one for the producer. Now knowing you, it might be number two for you. But tell me the atmosphere of the World Baseball Classic from your perspective, and maybe any other sports where you're at that can show some differences than the States might not ever see.
Yeah. Just in general, like baseball here is huge, right? Mm. We got six teams so far. I know it's still like compared to the States.
That's okay.
Six teams is nothing. But hey, each team got its own culture. They have their, you know, cheerleading teams, all that stuff. And, you know, we do have a lot of jerseys. Like, they do, like, a campaign. They wear different kinds of jerseys.
That's
like,
dope.
Every week or, you know, each month. And they put out a lot of great shows for people to come here to watch, even though we are not here for baseball. We might still have a lot of fun just, you know, drinking, watching shows, all that stuff. But I would say one thing really stood out, like, among all other countries, is... just the cheerleading culture, I guess. Like, it's not even like just grown men. It's like kids. They would love to, you know, be in the stadium and just follow their dancing or their cheer celebration, all that stuff. And I think that grew the culture of like watching baseball, right? Here, unfortunately, I would still say sports is not a priority for us. We still see studies, schools as the main thing, the first thing for us. But, you know, there are more and more people start like watching sports or even playing sports because of all these kind of games or like campaigns, you know, each team's push out. And one thing I gotta say that our training system, though, it's a lot different than what I've seen in the States or what I've heard from other countries. And this is one thing I guess I would diss about Taiwan sports is that we train a lot. So you gotta decide. So if I want to play baseball, then I will start in elementary school right away.
Oh, wow.
And that's the only sport. Yeah, that's the only sports you could do.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, for the rest of your life, you go
baseball.
Yeah, and that even, like, take away a lot of your school time. So you are a full-time baseball player since elementary school. You could say that. Yeah, and that's something I don't like because it takes away a lot of opportunities for you to try different things out.
Right.
And then when you are that young, you don't know.
You don't know.
What you're
going to
be. Yeah, you don't know, but... that kind of just force you to have only one way out. So you got to be the professional baseball player. Otherwise, you are screwed. Mm. Yeah, and I don't really like that. But it's still, like, that's, you know, how we train players. And you could argue that, you know, we only have 23 million people. My bad. So we are, you know, we don't have that much population, but we could still produce major league, you know,
sure,
players, all that. Yeah, so that's, you know, people say, yeah, the system works, you know, that's how you produce great players. But, you know, with more, like, knowledge and understanding, you know, like, with the trends in the world now, especially, you know, in the States, like, people say student-athletes, But still, you can still maintain, you know, sports while studying. I think that's really one thing. I really want to see here, but, you know, unfortunately, it's still, like, kind of, like, getting there on the way. But still, you know, like, mainly you see players, like, spend majority of their life just doing one thing. And then after their career, you don't see them going anywhere, you know,
right,
because they don't know what else to do. So that's one thing I would say huge, huge difference in terms of like training, you know, system here in Taiwan and in the States. But other good things, like here in Taiwan, it's just, you know, so much fun like that. You got to go out to watch games, you know, with family, and it's really easy to get to the stadium. I've been in the States, in D.C. once, going to the Nationals game.
Oh, man.
And
parking's horrible, just, dude.
Yeah, parking, all that. I mean, you could take the metro, that system, but it's just not that convenient, I would say. But also, because it's a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
But here, like, it's very easy to get to the stadiums, and it's really easy to get, you know, the tickets, all that, because, you know, it's just like... it's, you know, everything that people might not try to do, like, as their priority. But still, like, people have that passion for sports.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's why I'm saying that, you know, sports is still growing here. But, you know, with the WBC, like, every time a tournament happens, it's wild. It's like, you know, like, it's like World Cup, you know, with soccer, like, in all those, like, big, you know, soccer countries. But here in Taiwan as well, especially we were one of the host, you know, countries in Taizone. And, you know, like I mentioned, like, people were literally, like, just, like, being on their phone, like, you know, catching up, you know, what's going on on TV. And then I gotta tell you the funny story of one of our, you know, really good players for our national team. And now he's playing for the Red Sox. It's like, so we have a military service, right? Like mandatory for
every.
And for athletes, it's different. For athletes, it's different because they got to play sports so they cannot be away for like a year or 4 months, you know, away the games. So they got to constantly be training, all this stuff. So the government offered them a deal. So they don't have to do military service. But anytime, every time, if there is an international game where they need them, they got to come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got
to. So he would have to leave the Red Sox to come back?
Yeah, they are required to play, you know, for the national team.
Suppose the Red Sox are in the playoffs. Suppose they're in the playoffs.
No, but that before WBC, he wasn't with the Red Sox yet. So, yes, it's like right before the WBC, he was already in Taiwan, and the Red Sox announced that he was, you know, like with them. He signed all that stuff. But before that, he was like really just being careful, I guess, because, you know, there is a big deal coming, you know, your way. You don't want to get hurt. You don't want to play too much.
Doing the NBA load management.
yeah, all that stuff. So he turned down the invite from the government. And then they just stir up. Like, people's like, you know, you're now.
They're
like,
mad.
Trying to, like, yeah, be mad. And then it's like, because it's actually illegal. Like, it's law. Like, he is required to.
Right.
For the government. Wow. So that could get him in jail, all that kind of stuff. Yes. Yeah, but he turned it down. But eventually, like, the government just talked him through, and then he said, all right, I will be part of the team. But, you know, he...
That's crazy.
He brought a show. Like, he was the MVP of the pool. Eventually, I think he was selected one of those, like, greatest players for the whole tournament.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. He's,
wow.
Okay, so one thing. And then, like, during every game, as long as he get on the base, he would do this salute thing. And then there were, like... international reporters like kept asking why he's trying to do this solo celebration thing, and it's like, you never want to know. And that's where it came from, because first he did not want to join the team because of the military thing,
right?
But eventually he was on the team, so he's trying to, like, you know, just like do the salute thing. So, all right, now I'm, you know, doing my duty. Now
he's trying to do a little bit something to keep everybody over there happy while he's still over there. Yeah. With him.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's been the big thing here. Like, everybody started doing this. So
that's awesome.
That's really cool.
That's awesome, yeah.
I would like, you said so many awesome things there, and I love all that information. But I just wanted to touch on a couple things that you said early on. At first, you were talking about how there's only six like professional baseball teams there, and I'll be the first to tell you I will take the quality over quantity any day of the week. And it sounds like the culture that is brought to every baseball game there in Taiwan is just an atmosphere I'd love to be a part of. And then also, I feel like with that culture, the fans respect the game a little bit more than Americans do. They find more ways to cheer and more reasons to cheer than I feel Americans do. So Americans, get on your game here. I feel like we as Americans nitpick our teams all the way down to the bones, and it gets old after a while. I just want to go out there and enjoy a game.
Well, that's all because of money, dude.
It is.
It's all about money.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Exactly. Money's the reason for that. That's
I'm just
why.
Saying I would love to be a part
there's
of
no
the
There's no purity
Taiwan
in baseball
game.
Or any sports anymore because there's so much money that monopolizes everything.
You're right. And, you know, I'm just saying what they have there is.
You would enjoy the purity.
Oh,
of it.
My gosh.
But here's my thing, Sounds Jackie. Great. Here's my thing. You were talking about how when they want to pick a sport, they got to pick one sport and they got to stick with it. Da, 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 da. I think this is where you come into play. Because I look at you as a natural born leader that you might not even look at yourself as. Mm-hmm. As somebody that has done the things and the steps to get to places that you never thought you would. You know what I mean? When it was easier to just do this and do that. You said, nope, I'm going to do this and try to figure out this and try to figure out this. So people that want to do baseball over there or whatever, when they say that you can't do anything else or whatever, I think that you have a platform that you can say, hey, you can still learn and do more things. So I want you to continue with what you're doing as far as the youth and whoever else is involved with these baseball things because there is more to it. Because I see a bunch of people, athletes around town that could have went to college, did different things with sports, and it might not work out, but then they don't do anything.
Yeah.
There's still way more to life than that. There's still way more to life than that.
I have to
in
say.
In the United States, they don't make you do it. You're saying over there they make you do it. I think there's a change that you're going to be a part of helping that.
I also have to say, in the American culture, we are constantly saying, yeah, do as many sports as you can because that'll make you a better athlete.
Yes. Like,
baseball teaches you hand-eye coordination, and then soccer, teaches you to move with your feet. And so I don't know which would be better, but, you know, more power to them.
If I can get
baseball players or softball players that come to me and go, this is what I'm doing my entire life, and I'm here, and I'm for real about this, oh, that would be incredible.
Yeah, but how many people are really believing that? They're going to do it because they feel like they have to do it.
The thing is, though, like, you know, how many people are on one team? For example, like 20, you know, for a baseball team. For example, like from elementary school, from like those youth sports to like varsity to professional. But you only produce just that one or two.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
To the main league. So, you know, other people are just sacrificed, you know, from my opinion. But they might enjoy it. They might love it. But what I'm saying is it's like hard. Like you say, a lot of athletes, they could have done that. They could have gone to, like, good schools or professional. But eventually, they did not, and then they stopped doing what they did. And I think that's all ego, you know? Like, they believe themselves. They want to do sports, but eventually, they did not. But, you know, there is still more ways, you know, they could go around it. But I think that's just really hard for these athletes. I mean, the same thing in Taiwan. Here we have like those players. They might not be the top, but they still made it to the professional league. Yeah. They are in the minor league. But, you know, it's a problem because the other day I talked about with a friend. She is a translator with the minor team here. And then a coach from Japan is coaching here for that minor league team to say, you know, why is players so satisfied here in minor league team? You know? And that's the thing is because they've been doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah,
and now, you know, they finally made it. And then it's like, all right, you know, that's it. Then I don't really need
that's
to
my
do
angel.
More
yep.
work.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that does not make sports, like, better. You know, that won't make you better. And you still continue to just be in the same position over and over time. And I think with different sports coming in, like Jared said, it actually, there is a science, like statistics, all that stuff, prove that, you know, it will help you. When you do different sports, it will help you to be a better athlete. And with that, like, it actually increases more paths or opportunities, you know more about how this world, you know, is actually working. You know, it's not just, okay, all my life is sports, but you actually experience more. And when it comes to decision, you have that knowledge, you have that wisdom to make the right decision, you know.
Exactly. The more avenues you travel, the more knowledge you gain. There's no right or wrong way to do one sport. Look at all the different people that play football, that do gymnastics, or to do yoga, or to do different things.
Right.
There's no right or wrong way. It's a matter of your passion to do it.
How many people come out of college and have the option to choose football or baseball basketball?
Look at Allen Iverson. Look at Allen Iverson.
Tom Brady.
He played overseas, right? Didn't he play overseas somewhere? Allen Iverson. At the end of his career, Stephon Marbury.
Okay.
Different players.
Okay,
Yeah, you know what I mean? Allen Iverson was the number one recruit at quarterback coming out in football. He played basketball.
Okay.
There's so many different players like that. They can do multiple things. But if you limit them to one thing, how do they learn other things? It's more than sports. Mentally, you learn other things, different avenues to do other things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes had the option.
Yeah, baseball. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Russell
Wilson played baseball and football.
Tom Brady.
Kyler Murray. Different players.
Deion Sanders.
There you go.
Well, look at Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So I think that's something you're going to have a platform to help people do that. I really do believe that.
I mean, I really hope, but, you know, it's like a government thing, you know.
It is. It is.
A lot of people try to change it, but a lot of people also are just
you can't change it, but you can, like, do some things, options on the side. I don't know.
True.
But we're running long, so I want to get to some other things with you. I could talk to you all day, dude. Really. I could talk to you for a long time. I think Jared feels the same way.
We'll have to
have
you back.
I feel like we could dig into way more with this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's at 50. So we got about eight minutes left before this cuts off. That ain't going to cut off, but this will. I don't really care. I'm not tired. It's early for him. He's chilling. So let's get to basketball. You said that was your number one passion. Number one passion is basketball. Basketball season is almost over. It's almost over.
Almost over. Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit of Taiwanese basketball, and then we move to NBA.
So is there leagues in Taiwan? Because I see all these Euro leagues and all these different players, different things going on. Yeah. Is there a Taiwan league?
Yeah. So it's funny that we have three leagues now.
You got three leagues and only six baseball teams?
Yeah, it's weird. It's been quite a while, you know, wild journey for our sports.
Okay.
It's constantly changing. But it's a good thing to see. Like, there are a lot of people try to, like, you know, cooperate, you know, things together. But the story started that we have the very first league. I mean, as long as I remember, it's an amateur league called Super Basketball League. And it's a governmental funded league. So everything, you know, is executed by the government.
Nice.
It's starting nice, but eventually kind of went downhill because, you know, every year the government has the budget, right? So revenue isn't really the thing for them to worry about. Like, so they start thinking, okay, we don't really need to try too hard with our marketing, with our, you know, campaign, all that stuff. So eventually nobody really wanted to go watch the game. And then so our sports kind of, especially basketball, kind of died.
But why though? Why, Jackie? Why? Was it the star power? What was it about it? Because you said baseball only has six teams. What was it about basketball with three different leagues that you couldn't maybe even combine those three to get the best of the best to make one bigger league?
Right. So at first it was just one. And then since the marketing, all that stuff, people start like feeling just, okay, you know, government is not trying to do anything better for the basketball. So why not, you know, why do we want to like pay tickets to watch the games? So the league kind of dying down, still exists though, but you know, people start going to the games. So there is a guy, he used to be the player, and he's like, no, you know, we got to do something different. So he came up with a new league in 2020, so 2 years ago. It's very new, yeah. And then it's all like private, you know, like funded by like a lot of like firms, organizations. Okay. And government has nothing to do with it.
That's good.
So it is good because they care about the marketing.
Because that's their money.
Money, right?
That's their money. Yeah,
exactly. So they put in a lot of like stuff, you know, to make people want to come out and watch the games. And they actually provide another stage for those good players who are Taiwanese players, but they are overseas playing. But eventually, they have this stage to come back and to play in front of the home crowd.
Right.
And that made a lot of fans want to go to the games because they actually get to see like great players, great quality games. And then a year after, so the government see, okay, this league is working. So they tried to like get
They want to get their fingers in it, didn't
they? so they're like, all right, we are going to do another league too. So there is another league, the third league. And now they are just like competing against each other. It's wild to see this, like, because I never thought this would be three leagues in Taiwan now. And each league has like six teams. So combines like 18 basketball teams on this little island. And then there are Jeremy Lin, Dwight Howard, all those.
Hold on, Dwight Howard players. Plays in the Taiwan league?
Yeah,
I knew he went overseas.
And I just went to his game like a couple of days ago.
It's what?
Yeah, cool. He's here now. And, you know, just this effect that, you know, actually a lot of more people like in the States or in Europe are watching our basketball.
Yes.
Because, yeah, there are opportunities for their players to come here too. So, you know, it's getting big and bigger. So I can't wait, you know, for them to combine. You know, eventually they gotta combine because that's the regulation
for
FIBA. Yeah, so you gotta have only one league in each country. Yeah, so I can't wait for that.
And you wanna know why it built up? Because of competition and ego. That's what it was. Yeah. I got one, you got one. You build that. That's what we love about sports. Any sport you got a rival, and when them rivals play against each other. I don't care what the records are. We don't like each other, and it makes big time for sports. Same thing what you're talking about. Government league, private league. We go against each other. And then you get somebody like Dwight Howard. Did you ever have LaMelo Ball play?
No, we don't have LaMelo.
LaMelo never played?
In some European country, but I believe, but not in Taiwan.
You wanted him to play, didn't you?
No, so Dwight Howard came, and I love LaMelo.
You would have loved him to play in Taiwan.
Yeah. I used to be the fan of Big Bowler.
I got a Big Bowler shirt I wore today. I was wearing it today, Jackie.
Yeah, I loved him, you know, like, just fun to watch. And, I mean, he's good, like, you know, with the Hornets, all that stuff.
Oh, you're gonna go
but he would be right nice, you know, to be here in Taiwan.
He's going to get a shirt, Jackie.
He's so hype. I mean,
it is upstairs.
It's in
that's
the
all right. Room. That's all right. But I did wear it today. All Big Baller brand, baby.
Big Baller, yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's all about showing. As a brand, right? I mean, I love.
So why haven't you tried to get involved with any of these basketball leagues? You talk about the.
He's too big now.
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. You got all these universities in the States that want you because things you can do being a manager or whatnot. Why haven't you not reached out to any of these organizations to try to do the same thing?
That's a very good question, man. I gotta be honest with you.
See, on Relics of Sports Talk, Jackie, we give great questions.
Yeah. You know, it's all right. I gotta be honest with you. I was offered a position with